Hey everybody, it's Lloyd Spence, and guess what? It's that time of year, my favorite time of year, March Madness, and BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, the NBA is also in full swing. College basketball is heating up as the schools make their way to the madness. Listen, the tournament is coming, and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. Look, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. And guess what? You can receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So go to betonline.ag. BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. What up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Noise, and I'm trying to tell y'all what's going on with our newest sponsor, eBay. Now, whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verifies the box, logo, stitching, and a dozen of other inspection points. And each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 plus, making it free to sell or flip your collection. You can't beat that. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. That's ebay.com/sneakers today. It's eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you.
You are now listening to Believe in the ACC with my husband, Mr. Talking Noise, Lloyd Spence, and our brother, Heisman Trophy and Florida State legend, Charlie Ward. And now, Lloyd and Charlie. Go get them, fellas.
Well, clearly I'm going to have to change the intro now because I can't introduce him as just Heisman Trophy winner. I now have to introduce him as Florida State legend, Heisman Trophy winner, and coach of the year, Charlie Ward. That's how it's got to go now. That's the way the new intro is.
I'll fix it.
It's okay.
It is players and coaches.
Well, what do you want me to say, Charlie? Player and coach of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
Say my name.
You're not a player coach, Charlie. You're not Bill Russell.
My players, I am honoring my players and my coaches because they deserve it.
I love it. I'm with it, Charlie.
I'm taking my name off of it.
That is, you know what, Charlie? You seem very determined to make this stance. I'm here for it. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I'm actually going to fully support this.
My players deserve to be recognized. I asked them to sacrifice numbers to win.
Yeah.
They did that.
Yeah.
And get honored properly. So I am honoring them for the sacrifice that they made for our team to be successful.
Okay, so we'll change the intro to Heisman Trophy winner and the coach who honored his players because they deserved it just as much as he did.
There you go. That's what you want to say?
All right.
Are we in the theater room this morning?
My wife is in the office. All right, can you remember all of that? We'll work on it. I'll write it down. I'm gonna write it down for you. All right.
Make it an acronym if you like.
What is the acronym for this? I don't know, but we will figure it out. Now you challenge me, Charlie. I totally got to figure it out. All right.
You notice he has on his Heisman hat this morning.
Is that a Heisman hat? I didn't even see it. Wait a minute. You got to dip down again, Charlie, so I can see it. Let me see it. The Heisman hat. Oh, that is a that's not even a humble flex. That's like because here's the problem, Kendrick. Everybody can't go out and buy a Heisman hat. That's
not, you can't go out and buy a Heisman hat.
You can.
Can you buy a Heisman hat? I've never seen a Heisman hat, Charlie.
You have to go on the website.
I didn't know you could buy a Heisman hat, but it's something about a Heisman Trophy winner wearing a Heisman hat that just says, I am that guy.
Just like I wear my FSUS proudly, I am a FSUS guy, I am a Seminole, I am a New York Knicks guy, so I wear my gear.
I see, and listen.
I'm just representing those things that I'm a part of.
Live on a podcast, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you. Who among us has not flexed on a podcast? I mean,
that's why we love Charlie Ward.
Listen, right, the reason why I signed up to do the podcast was to see you flex on a weekly basis. So I'm good. You have all of my dreams as we go. So I'm good.
All right, I'm loving the tour of the house because I think we're in the theater room this morning.
We're in the theater room. We're in the theater room, and he got the nice posters in the back. I mean. Charlie is doing his thing today, boy. I'm telling you.
No.
He's doing his thing.
I'm normally in the theater room. This is just a different view of the theater room.
No, okay.
Right. Kendrick, the theater room is so big.
Right. He's got different angles.
That's what I'm trying to help you understand. Kendrick doesn't understand. I'm trying to help him understand. It's okay. Right.
It is a nice theater room. I'll just say that. We inherited a nice theater room, so
inherited it.
Yeah, not complaining.
Charlie, when we come down to do the broadcast live from there, we're doing it from the theater room. I'm just letting you know right now.
Good.
All right. Listen, I am glad we all up and at them because you know when you do these early morning ones, you don't know what the energy is like. But this is good. And I haven't had my coffee this morning, but y'all have given me life, so this is wonderful. Man. This was a strange year, and I don't mean 2020. I mean the COVID. I call it the COVID year. There's a weird podcast. You know, ESPN has these podcast 30 for 30s, and they did one called March 11th. And we've talked about it on this show how, you know, we were where we all were on March 11th and how things were going and how it unfolded. And so we've watched now the ACC unfold over this past year, and I think we've learned some really interesting lessons or taken some interesting notes from this past year. So I thought we would just, while we have this weird pause button going on for the tournament, because normally in years past, Thursday would be the day we'd be starting the next round of games, the Sweet 16. But due to COVID in this strange year, as they say, they're moving the games to Saturday. They start Saturday, which is that's so strange. That is really strange to me. But I'm assuming somebody smarter and being far more paid than I am is doing what they thought was best. So we'll see. But anyway,
is it a 7-day stretch or something?
I guess I'm assuming it's got to be maybe because of COVID, there's a quarantine thing that you have to sit down for 7 days, but it's not really 7 days because then they stop Monday.
Right.
Six days. Right.
So, I mean,
well, but it'd be 6 days it'd be 6 days for the ones that played Monday. It'd be 7 days for the ones that played Sunday. So I guess it's probably, So maybe it's some kind of 7-day rule or something. I don't know.
But they play Saturday, Sunday. So, I mean,
I don't know. It's very strange. Huh?
I say Florida State's playing on Sunday, so
Florida State's playing on Sunday
on Monday.
Yeah,
I guess 7 days.
I don't know, but you know what? I wouldn't expect anything less from where we are in America right now. So this is just how it is. So
I was gonna say, you said you assumed it was somebody smarter and making more money. I'll give you probably making more money, but don't assume the smarter part.
Touche. I will not make that assumption.
We did see the women's weight room in San Antonio.
Well, you know what? That's one of the things we wanted to talk about this morning, the lessons that we've learned during this past year. And we'll get, I'm sure we're going to get into that because I have a question specifically for that, for us to be able to talk deeper in that. We touched it a little bit on Monday, but we definitely got to get deeper into that. So I will start with this question. Huh? You got a question, Charlie?
No, I said I have a suggestion once.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm saying once we get to the.
Okay, cool. Well, so the first question I said, I started to ask my brothers, the ACC basketball this year was, how would you describe it?
Let you go first, Charlie.
I guess you would. We talk about men's, right? First?
All of it. All of it. You know, we don't do that on this show. We try to give the women some love.
I say so, first or women's first.
However you want to do it. I'm going to do mine in general, just as a whole. But you go ahead.
I think it's like all the other conferences. Everybody had the same. Same issues when it came down to pauses and contact tracing and, you know, up and down play. Of course, ACC women had a couple teams, you know, with stability at the top, UofL and NC State. And they're still going into playoffs, I mean, a tournament now.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where the ACC women stack up. The men, I mean, it's we still got two left.
Yeah.
And one we thought would be there. Didn't quite know because it kind of struggled down the stretch. And then the other one, we just expect to be there even if they're close.
right.
Over there. Right. They seem to find a way to you know, push and get their way in the playoff in the tournament, and then a way to, you know, make some noise. And so, and we talk about Syracuse.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of expected, you know, what we expected, especially in the tournament, from some of the teams. We didn't expect, you know, maybe Georgia Tech. It was an 8-9 game. But it could have gone either way, which that was the case. But, you know, the other teams, we really didn't know. You know, Virginia Tech, we didn't have our normal, what we call normal teams in it. You know, Duke, North Carolina was there, but they played, you know, like what we're seeing now. We had Kessler transferring, Sharp, who just declared for the
I saw that
draft.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, there's a lot of different dynamics that we probably don't even know existed that they may have been struggling with. And so that's probably why they were up and down, you know. And both of those guys are, I think, true freshmen, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just don't understand. But that, to me, that kind of just sums up the ACC in a nutshell. That the teams, the men's teams was competitive but inconsistent. The women's team, we just had two dominant teams or schools, and everyone else was consistent.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a really good playback of the season.
Yeah,
that's a really good playback of the season. Kendrick, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I definitely am not going to top that.
Right.
I'll say the ACC men, I'm just going to be honest, the ACC men was down this year.
Yeah.
And you can tell by their performance in the tournament. I mean, Florida State and Syracuse are carrying the flag. We're not surprised by Florida State at all. We are surprised by Syracuse, even though they always somehow get to get here. It's still a surprise every year. But we'll be surprised if they advance past the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
With the women, it was just like Charlie said. You had two dominant teams. Then the rest you can kind of put in the bag. However, I will say, I think from the bottom down was a little bit more competitive than in years past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, their last game notwithstanding, Virginia Tech was pretty competitive throughout most of the conference season.
Right, right, right.
And Syracuse was always – they were always competitive throughout the season. North Carolina had their ups and downs, but they were relatively competitive. But then when you look at Duke having to shut down their season so early, I mean, that was an eye-opener to even begin the conference season. And so I say the women, I think, while it was very top heavy, was a little bit better than the years past. It just didn't where it was top heavy was usually with Notre Dame and Louisville. Now you have NC State and Louisville, and so at least the Louisville thing stayed consistent.
Yeah, I think for me, if I had to describe ACC basketball this year, I would say it was a roller coaster ride.
Yeah,
it was just an absolute roller coaster ride. It was, especially on the men's side. I would say the women was a little more stable and normal, and which is ironic, but not really, because here's what's weird about it to me. Women in college sports tend to stay pretty consistent with what they do. Like, there really are a lot of ebbs and flows with it. It's just, like, the good teams are the good teams. Not mediocre, but the middle-of-the-road teams are the middle-of-the-road, and the bad are the, you know, they are what they are. So it wasn't much different from that, like I said, although it was a little odd not seeing Notre Dame be great on the women's side. Duke is women are usually a little bit better, but they opted out, so, you know, that was what it was. On the men's side, it was just a roller coaster ride. You didn't know week to week who was going to play. You didn't know week to week who was going to be great. And it does not really surprise me that Florida State was, you know, is one of the last teams standing, because that's kind of what it was. Even with the stoppage that they had, still, when they were there, they were the most consistent team of
two years in a row.
Yeah, how they played, how they approached the game. They played to their system, where it seemed like everybody else spent the entire year trying to figure out who they were, other than Syracuse. So there it is. The two teams that decided who they were long before the season started, they took that into COVID and then carried it on into the NCAA tournament. Everybody else was like, we don't know who the heck we are. So, and it showed up, you know, as the season unfolded. So I would just say it was a roller coaster ride, man. It was very strange. But what about the coaches and teams? How do you think they managed COVID in all of this? How do you think they managed it?
You said the coaches?
The team that I cover obviously didn't.
Coaches and teams, yeah.
The team that I cover obviously did not do it very well.
They didn't do it very well, yeah.
They had three stoppages, and, you know, they came back off – two of those stoppages and got beat by 50 points. And
well, I was going to say that was probably Louisville's greatest defeat. The way they managed COVID was their greatest defeat, because they didn't manage it well at all. And here's the irony. Louisville women had a stoppage as well, but
they only had one.
Right.
But they only had one. And I mean, it wasn't, you know, there's not as much parity in the women's game as in the men's game.
Well, there isn't, but even that, even I guess the thing that shocked me about Louisville stoppages is that in life you hope that you're learning the lessons, and that if something doesn't go right, you go, okay, we got whatever we did wrong to cause that to happen, let's not do that again. And that's not what happened.
Plus the part two is that with both Louisville stoppages, both of their games when they came back were on the road, one at Wisconsin and one at North Carolina.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's not easy, regardless if you are playing a consistent schedule. But when you're coming off of not playing for 2 weeks or so, and then have to go on the road at those places, even if they're empty gyms, just going on the road in general, I would imagine you got to travel and all that goes with that. And then when they played Wisconsin without Carlete Jones, and so, I mean, I think there's a
Chad Major from the Five, who is a diehard Michigan fan, is already shooting shots. I don't know. Chad was at work. I don't know. I guess he decided.
Have we heard about Livers yet?
We haven't. I have not heard that yet. But shout out to Juwan for being Coach of the Year. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. I'll send him a text to let him know I appreciate him being coach of the year. And that would definitely be great for us because all the hype would be on them. And I just love it.
If you didn't see that coming a mile away.
Coach of the year, Juwan Howard.
If you didn't see that flex coming a mile away, I'll send him a text. And by the way, congratulations. Take this L. I see what you're doing, Charlie. You're not slick, Charlie Ward. I see what you're doing.
Oh, I am sending my buddy, former teammate, a text to congratulate him on winning, on being coach of the year.
I'm sending my buddy. I love it. I love it.
Personally, he's playing my alma mater. So I hope they enjoy their coach of the year. Be enjoying that coach of the year while we're playing.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I'll say this about the coaches and teams, man. And Michigan is a great example of that. I think it was gonna be hard no matter what. So I think they managed it as well as you could. It with no information and no precedents to draw from. To say this is the way to do it, I think all of the schools, and not just ACC, but everybody, has done about as well as you can possibly do.
Also, you got to think about every situation is not the same.
It's not the same. Right. That's exactly right.
In some cases, they weren't even able to practice.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough guys or guys were in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And then some, you know, they were able to get a couple practices in before they came back off of their pause with a full team, or you know, they kind of, I know Florida State a couple times, they were able to get a couple practices in before they played a game. But you think about Virginia, who came into the tournament, I don't know how many practices they were able to get, like physical practices. And all those.
They didn't get there till Friday.
Probably none because they had to stay quarantined. That was the rule. So it was tough, man.
Every situation was kind of different on how they came back off of the pause, and it maybe reflected in how they played. Not maybe. I'm sure it did have a big effect on how they played coming back off of the pause.
Yeah. What about the NCAA? How do we think their assistance was in managing COVID?
Kind of felt like everybody was on their own. They didn't feel like the NCAA assisted in anything.
Well, and see, therein lies where I wanted to go with the whole thing. My comments may be a little bit scathing, and I will say this in advance. They do not reflect Charlie Ward or Kendrick Haskins. They are my thoughts and my thoughts alone. I thought they were trash. I thought the NCAA didn't help in any way, form, or fashion, up to and including the tournament. The fact that you have the young ladies in San Antonio and they have to tweet out, look what they have given us, or look what we have, or look what our conditions by comparison is so NCAA. That's, to me, that's the greatest thing you can say about it. It's so NCAA. It's exactly what you would have expected. A clueless, not unaware, not seeing it for what it really is type of response to the circumstances that are in front of you, because that's what the NCAA is. It is so time for something else. It is so time for something else. And I honestly wish, coming out of this situation, going into next year and the years going forward, I honestly wish the Power Five would just get together and say, okay, let's figure this out. Let's figure out what we want to do. Because it's just time for something different. NCAA is antiquated. Their thought process is antiquated. It's ran by antiquated men who don't get it. And they're never going to get it because they've never had to get it. They've never been forced to get it. Why should they get it? Why buck a system that isn't broken for them? So I think it's been trash. I am not impressed. I'm not pleased. I think to leave these schools out to figure it out in the most horrific circumstances in my lifetime, I think was somewhat even cowardice. Again, these are my thoughts. I'd like to hear from my fellow.
I would like to ask this question. If you were the president or whoever he is, the top-notch guy of the NCAA.
Yes. What would I have done differently?
Yes.
I would have put together, I would have grabbed my commissioners and I would have put together a comprehensive plan of how we were going to try to deal with based on what the experts thought. Based on what the experts said, I would have said, here are some guidelines. Now, you all can tweak this however you want to make it work for your conference. But here are some basic guidelines that I think we need to follow in order to make sure that everyone stays safe. Otherwise, why are you calling yourself a governing body before? If you're not going to govern, what's the point? So I would have sat down with some people and I would have taken the time to put together some real guidelines.
Well, let me just say this. That is why they have been calling that for a commissioner of college football. And they probably should have one for basketball.
Yes.
Someone that can do what you just said. And allow the president, I think it's Mark Emmerich.
Emmerich, yeah.
Right.
Let him be the overriding head honcho guy, whatever you want to call him. And everybody else, you know, you have commissioners govern over certain sports, especially the major ones. And
right.
That is where you can get the unity. That person can call the commissioners of each Power Five or whatever, commissioners of the college football, to try to get everyone in the same room, working in some form of unity. I mean, it may not be the same, but some form of unity. And that way, across the board, it will at least have the blueprint for that unity. They can, like you say, go and do whatever they need to do. But when it's all said and done, at least you would have all the commissioners in a room being able to talk things out, and people, they can get all on the same page. Maybe they are doing that. I don't know. But I do know that there's not one person that's hovering over NCAA football that can demand that type of, respect, or that's what they do. You know, that's
right.
The only thing that they're watching over. They're not looking over other sports, but that's the only sport that they're looking over, trying to figure out how they can, you know, make changes where needed, keep things the way they are, and get things, you know, put things in place that can be beneficial for football.
Yeah.
My take on the men and women's, you know, facilities when it comes down to the NCAA tournament. I was talking to my cousin the other day. He's at school, but we were just talking about how there should be one uniform equipment agreement across the board. And that way you don't have the discrepancy of what the women had and the men had. It is what goes into all the facilities. If you're going to have whatever they're going to have, they put it down and they put it in both facilities. It's just one blanket deal. Whether they use it or not, that's on them. But if it's blanket, you don't have to worry about what we just saw.
Right.
And so I think that's another. We got to have a governing body over this. Men's and women's basketball, or men's basketball and women's basketball.
Yeah.
And I always say put a female over it, because that way if anyone's going to look after what their rights and needs are, it's going to be a female.
Right.
And that way you won't have these discrepancies because they're going to be willing to fight for whatever they need.
Charlie, in just about 5 minutes, you and I'm sure Kendrick has a lot to offer as well. It has taken us about 5 to 10 minutes to solve it. So if it took us 5 to 10 minutes, why is it so hard for them? These don't seem like complicated solutions, Kendrick.
These are all common sense ish. These are all common sense solutions. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to come up with these solutions. And I especially like what Charlie said about having a woman over it and maybe a male being the vice president.
Yeah.
And like, having it blanket across the board, I mean, that seems so thankless. It's like, why does this even have to be thought of? it's like what Jeff Walz said in his press conference the other day. He's like the fact that happened with the weight room is not what bothers me. It's the fact that somebody signed off on it. Like, who is that person?
Right.
It's 2021 and we're still having these same arguments about stuff like that. That's insane to me.
It's mind blowing. It is mind blowing that the NCAA is so inept. It really is.
Even like take Oklahoma State, for example. So the NCAA comes out and says they have a 1-year tournament ban.
Right.
And then, but if Oklahoma State, if they fight it, we'll see. And then all of a sudden, they have the number one player in the country.
Hey, hey, they have a 1-year ban.
And then all of a sudden, it doesn't get heard until now the season's over with for them. But I mean, it's simple stuff like that. I mean, there's no uniformity to anything the NCAA does. I mean, then you look at the whole stuff going on with Louisville and the stuff going on with Kansas, and this stuff has drug on and on. And it's been going in 3 years now.
Right.
Chris Mack has finished his third year at U of L.
Yeah. Is that hard to figure this out? Like, is that complicated? So I don't know, mate.
There's nothing else that, I mean, just think about it. There's nothing else in your life, in this world, that takes them 3 years to make a final decision on. The NCAA is common.
Well, and then here's the other part about it. You've been home the whole time.
Right.
It's not like you didn't have nothing else to do but to review the evidence. It's not like you went into the office, signed a lot of paperwork and all this other stuff, and you didn't put together a comprehensive plan for COVID. So what have you been doing this last 3 years?
Like, right, because you think the Louisville stuff, I mean, Rick Pitino has been fired. Rick Pitino has coached in Greece.
And won a championship. That dude left the country, won a championship, came back, got it, had a whole season, went into the tournament, and still don't know what his fate is.
That's it. Louisville's on their second coach, because if you forget that David Padgett was the interim coach after Pitino was gone. Mac just finished his third year. U of L's they've been ranked number one in the country at one point in that stretch.
I would love to get Jay Billis on this show, because I love to hear his rants about this. When Jay Billis starts to rant about the NCAA, I immediately jump up and get my popcorn, world popcorn, and say, this is going to be good.
Jay doesn't hold back.
Jay does not hold back. He would make a great commissioner, by the way. He would be amazing.
Yeah, he would.
But anyway, the best moment of the past year in basketball was what for you?
The opening tip of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was – yeah, listen. Who thought we'd be there?
I knew we was going to be there. I'm just glad
we did. I thought we were going to be there.
Yeah. They wasn't losing that money 2 years in a row.
They're going to find a way.
The ego alone wouldn't let them do that twice, right?
If they needed a team, they'd have had me, you, Charlie, C Major, and Uncle Noise out there playing.
I gotta be honest with you, that would have been the shortest tournament of all. They'd be like, man, this tournament ended in 10 minutes. What in the world?
I never remember Charlie Ward shooting this much.
Charlie, shoot it. Shoot the J, Charlie.
You're a volume shooter on this team, Charlie.
Charlie Ward, that line would be amazing. Man, he shot 60 shots. It was amazing. Kendrick and Lloyd combined for 35 assists. It was unbelievable.
For me.
What you say?
I said it'd been a half court game for me.
No defense.
I mean, no running both ends of the floor. That's
no, we definitely not running that. No. That's, I'm telling you, it would have been a weird looking game.
We've definitely been playing four corners offense.
I think for me, the best moment was probably that, man. Just seeing, and I'm gonna tell you something. The normalcy of actually seeing the tournament has been so refreshing. Like, it's been like a wave of beauty, because you just go, hey, we might actually be getting back to something that looks like what we remember. Like, you know.
There are a few fans there.
Yeah, at least. Well, and see, that's hilarious to me. Let me just tell you, my favorite part and the funniest part of this whole thing is that. Because we can't let the fans in. So on that lower bowl, it looks empty and thin. And you hear all this noise and you say, man, where is all this noise coming from? And then you look at the higher rap, it's like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. I see what's going on. No fans. Got it. Okay. NCAA cracks me up, man.
The family members with students.
Yeah, it's a lot of family members though, Charlie. It's like they extended that family list out considerably, because like one game I saw, I don't remember who it was, but it was one of the tournament games I saw in that upper level. I looked up there and it wasn't full, but I was like, that's a lot of people.
They extended it to the play cousins.
Yeah. They was like, it was like, we're only going to give you five tickets apiece. There's a lot of wink-wink going on in this season, by the way. What about the most important thing we achieved in the conference this year? The most important thing we achieved. I think the most important achievement, and this is gonna sound a little bit morbid, but it's not. I think the most important thing that was achieved is that no one died.
Yeah, you're right. It sounded morbid.
I mean, it's the truth, though.
I guess that's a great blessing. It is true.
I mean, am I wrong, though? No, listen, because that, I mean, at the beginning of last year, we didn't know if that would be true.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And when that young man went down in Miami, we really didn't know if this would be – or was it Florida?
Florida.
We really didn't know if this was going to be true. So the fact that no one has died is amazing.
I mean, no one's really been seriously ill by it.
Right.
That we know of. People who've had long bouts with it, and it's kind of hindered them in some form or fashion. But it's taken them, you know, some time. And some of this happened before the season,
mm-hmm.
And went into, you know, the season. But I don't know. We know that it's had some type of effect on some of the kids, but we just don't know the lasting effects. And I'm sure there are more than we know that's had some issues that maybe not been able to come back and play the way they were before, or they're still struggling with it.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to ask Kendrick this, and I keep – every time we get together, I remember and I don't remember, but I'm remembering now. Asia, do you have an update for us on Asia? Is she doing any better?
She's been in town. We haven't been able to talk to her. She's been in town a couple of times. She's been for a couple of games. I
mean, Asia Doer, former U of L. Yeah.
I don't think she's up to where she can play yet.
Wow.
But it's right now, it just sounds like she's just maintaining right now.
Wow. To Charlie's point, man, we don't really know what the long-term effects of all this really is. I keep hearing a lot of people talk about brain fog. I keep hearing a lot of people talk about how long it's taking them to get their taste back. And then we don't know what this whole the vaccine situation is going to be. I mean, we're way early with all of this. But at the same time, when you hear a story like Asia's and you go, geez, that's because Asia seemingly was a ridiculously healthy person. Like you would think. She based on what we know about this thing, you would think that she would have sailed through this with flying colors, and that has not been the case. quite the opposite, as a matter of fact. So, you know, but again, the fact that no one has died is actually pretty nice. I mean, so we take that blessing and move forward, I guess. Three teams on the men's side that show a promising future to you, coming out of all of this.
I know one of the teams that the guy down below is going to say.
Listen, I'm not going to hold you up, Kendrick, but I'm probably going to say the same thing.
Let's just look at coaches, I guess, because a lot of times, you know, you're going to graduate kids. But with recruiting and the culture that you've built, that plays a big part as well. Of course, I'm going to say Florida State.
Really?
Because of Coach Ham. The culture that they built here, the recruits that they have, you know, coming in, and some of the guys potentially who will be coming back. We know who's leaving out the door. No, but hopefully we can get some of the guys to stay. If they don't get the right grade from the NBA, if we can get those guys back, then we'll definitely be in the mix. I'm still. I don't know about North Carolina and Duke.
Yeah, man.
Especially with Kessler leaving Carolina,
Duke just had a kid transfer. That played. He was a freshman last year, I think. Can we
not gloss over what you just said, Charlie?
What was that?
North Carolina and Duke, we don't know about. That's when is the last time those words have been uttered in a sports show as it relates to those basketball programs? But you're right. There is such uncertainty about that.
Yeah, that's the thing that we don't know. We know they recruit well.
Yeah.
But are they going to get back to developing guys? And what I mean by that is when they were solid teams, they didn't have as many
great point
one and done type of players. They were able to develop guys over the course of their years, and they had seniors and juniors on their team, and then they would throw in and sprinkle in a dynamic freshman or two. But now what we're seeing is a lot of these five-star players going, and now what we're seeing is they're not finishing even after their first year in some form or fashion. And we're seeing them transfer, and you know, they're not happy, whatever the case may be, and they want to move or they're leaving to go to the NBA. And now you're starting to see that effect happen. And it's hard to recover. I know they will. They're very good coaches. They'll do what they need to do. But at some point, they're going to go back to their grassroots in the sense of getting guys that are talented, but maybe not the five-star or the four-star, but getting guys that are committed. I would be interested. I'd be interested to find out of all these five-star guys, how many of those guys have transferred from different high schools?
Bounced around, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be interesting stat to try to look up. You know, how many five-star guys have transferred from their local high school, and that's including going to IMG, Mount Bird.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of left their place, their local homes, and went to these schools searching for something bigger. The other thing is, it'd be interesting to know how many of these five-star, four-star, top-rated guys have, how many AAU teams have they played on?
I was thinking that when you said, when I looked off, that's what I was looking off the thing. I was like, I bet you the same amount that have switched AAU teams. It's there's a so in dating, there's a concept of called serial monogamy, where you you're not a player, you just bounce from relationship to relationship because you're not satisfied. And I think that's kind of the same thing what we're talking about here. There's a mentality of divorce when it relates to these young kids today, as it relates to them playing on these teams. If I don't like the way I'm being treated, who this team is, what the coach is, or if there's a better opportunity somewhere else, I'll just leave this opportunity and go somewhere else. And that mentality is kind of permeating throughout sports, not just basketball, just sports in general. If I don't like it, I'll just go do something else. And I don't know how good that is, because if you're always searching for greater or something better, how do you know when you found it?
Right. And I'm not, I'm not saying if a person leaves, we all make mistakes. And
or we all get in, or sometimes we get in bad situations. That makes sense.
And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, I give everyone like that pass. You know, a bad, you know, bad decision on whatever school, whatever the case may be. That happens. But when you start finding this trend of one, two, you know, three. You know, that's when you start getting into danger, and you just don't know. You're just hoping and praying that it would click at some point. And a lot of times, if you have talent, they're hoping that you will, you know, it will click. But sometimes that's not always the case. And I'm not bashing, not trying to bash anyone. I'm just trying to see the mindset.
Yeah,
that's being established. One of the things I'm talking to my kids about is habits. You know, that's a habit.
Yeah.
You know, just that's a habit that we form that, yes, I got to try to find the best thing. And if the coach is coaching me too hard, he won't let me play my game, let me do X, Y, Z, then I'm going to go somewhere else where they're going to let me do that. Then they get over there. They're not winning, but they're getting all the shots. They're doing, you know, doing whatever they want to do. And that may not be satisfying because they're not winning. And so I'm just like, you know, man, just make the big time where you are. I think that's Scottie Frosting's book.
Yeah. But you know what? And Ken, you'll appreciate this. I even saw that trend starting as far back as my senior year. I'll never forget my senior year, the backup center for Butler came to our school, Western. His senior year. Yeah. And we were like, what are you doing here? Like we showed up, we were like, what are you doing here? Oh man, you know, it didn't work out over there. Yeah. So you come over here, and for Charlie, the reason why that's, you know, surprising is because that was our chief rival. That was our number one rival. We hated them and they hated us. Matter of fact, my senior year, we got into a full-on fight with them on the basketball court. So that's what it, I mean, that's what it was. So for him to leave and come over there, like, what are you doing? Like, where's your loyalty? But that was, you know, that's where we are. There is really not a lot of loyalty like that anymore. I'm not sure loyalty even fits into the conversation ever again.
It's a double-edged sword because, you know, you don't want kids just bouncing around all over the place.
Right.
At the same time, you also got these coaches, they just bounce whenever they feel like
that's
it.
Exactly right.
Exactly. So it's like, right. It's good for the goose, it's got to be good for the gander. So, like, that's one of those things that I don't have a definite opinion. I struggle with it a little bit
as well, Kendrick. Yeah.
Yeah, because I can go either way with it. Because it's like,
good point.
I'm like, because I was always taught if you start something, you finish
it. Finish it. Yeah. Yeah.
And, but then, like you say, you can have a bad situation, or it's just not a fit, or you can mean, you're a 17, 18-year-old kid making a decision, and you know, you realize that you made a wrong decision because you were a kid and you may have based it on the wrong things. I mean,
right.
There's been players that Kentucky and Louisville were both after. They ended up choosing Kentucky because they liked Big Blue Madness. Right. and then they go to Kentucky right. and it doesn't pan out. Why did they do that? Because they're 17, 18-year-old kids.
What was the kid that he was Mr. Basketball, and he was really good, actually, and then went to Kentucky. And I want to say he was on either the Anthony Davis team or the Harrison Twins team. He was Mr. Basketball, and everybody, both Kentucky and Louisville won. Rick was pawning over the kid, but he decided to go to Kentucky, and he had a miserable experience to the point he stayed all 4 years, but it was miserable 4 years. And it ultimately cost him everything that he probably in his career, basketball-wise, wanted to do. What was that kid? He was a guard. Oh, God, I can't think of his name.
The only kid that comes to mind is Darius Miller, but he's fine. He's still in the league.
Yeah, it wasn't Darius. It was another kid. If you said his name, I'd be like, yes, that's him. But it did not end well at all. So, you know, a kid like that, you're like, oh, God, that's terrible that you ended up. But that he came in at the start of Cal's, I'm gonna go get all the five stars and recycle thing, you know.
Well, he's got one now. I mean, it's the kid there now that fits that description. It's Dante Allen,
right?
He is the Mr. Basketball, even though I've said on the show before he probably shouldn't have gotten it, but he's Mr. Basketball and he grew up a Kentucky fan, goes to UK, and barely plays it.
It's different when you peek behind the curtain.
But the thing is, and what we were talking about, if you pick something, you stick with it, he's sticking with it. He's not leaving. And there's a part of me that I really applaud that. And he's like, you know what? This is where I wanted to go. This is what I wanted to do. This man's not giving me that time. I'm going to make him give me that time. And that's what he's trying to do. So you've got to applaud that mentality because you don't see that anymore. 90% of the kids today, if they were in that situation, would have been locked. They would have been gone. As soon as the season was over, they're out. And so the fact that he's sticking around with it, I mean, I have a whole new appreciation for the kid.
And it's a life lesson that'll carry him forever. Like he will always probably carry that kind of mentality. Like he will not be one of the kids that runs when it gets tough. He'll say, okay, I got to figure this out.
And if he stays off 4 years and is successful, he'll never have to pay for anything in the state of Kentucky again.
Yeah, that is also a benefit as well. I'm not sure we answered the question, but we had an incredible discussion just now. I'll take that over the question any day. So let's do this to close out because Charlie was not here. When we did the awards, we didn't give Charlie an opportunity to pick his coaches of the year and his ACC MVP. So, Charlie, I would love for you to pick your. Let's start with coaches of the year on the men and women's side. Who would you pick for coaches of the year on the men and women's side?
Yeah, I wish you. I didn't know, but
Well, you're Charlie Ward. You don't need prep time for that. You're Charlie Ward, for God's sake.
We already know who the men's coach is going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Charlie, when I came up with this question, I knew where you were going to answer. So we're fine. We're fine.
Definitely for the men, you know, we're going to go with Coach Ham. I mean,
I'm a genius. What can I say?
When it's all said.
If there's one thing about Charlie, he's loyal.
He's loyal. There you go.
But the guy that impressed me the most is Coach Georgia Tech's coach
Pastner. Yeah.
Our daughter Hope said that he looks like a youth pastor.
That is so accurate. That is so accurate.
Yep.
Oh, my God. You tell Hope she nailed that. That is so true. Yep.
He looks like youth pastor that still dresses young.
He looks like he starts every practice with a guitar and one of those stools. And he's like, before we start, guys, let's join hands and sing this song. That is, man, Hope nailed that. I am never going to look at him differently than that. Okay, what would you say on the women's side? It's okay to be a homer if you like.
No, I mean, you got to go with probably one of the top tier teams.
Yeah.
Because they were the most consistent team.
We went with Wes. We went with Wes Moore. NC State. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say as well. You know, if they were consistent, they beat two number one teams.
Yeah.
I know they beat South Carolina and Louisville.
Yeah.
And they're still born now. But I would say one of those. I would say him.
I think that's a good choice. I think that's a really good choice. And then your MVPs, Charlie, on the men and women's side, who would you pick?
I don't know. I mean, in this MVP stuff, man, I'm going to value winning.
Okay.
We went with Moses.
We went with Chalk.
Moses Wright?
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody else went with?
I mean, it's hard to argue against it.
Or he had good numbers?
He had great numbers. And he made a leap. I mean, it was from last year to this year, he made a pretty considerable leap. The only person that made a better leap than him was the kid from Miami, Isaiah. I mean, he went from averaging 7 points last year to averaging 17. So...
That means he's most improved.
Yeah, and that's what we gave him. That's what we gave him. We gave him most improved.
Yeah, because, their team was not very good.
They were not very good.
They had a lot of injuries, and some of their players were missing them pretty much the whole year.
Right. Point guard was out most of the season, right?
Yeah. That was a tough year for them.
Yeah, I can give that award to those types of guys, most improved.
Yeah.
But the MVP of the league, you got to value winning. And I will go with Moses Wright. They ended up winning the ACC championship, and he was an intricate part in making that happen.
Yeah.
So they struggled without him.
Oh, man, it was night and day without him. Yeah, it was a whole different team.
You know what I think it was, Lloyd?
What's that?
I think Charlie couldn't decide who was the MVP of Florida State.
Well, it felt like he really is leaning.
He couldn't put his finger on who was exactly the MVP of Florida State.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. But
they got so much depth, it's hard to choose one. I get it.
Right. You could have given it to the whole team, Charlie. We wouldn't have been upset at that.
I know, just give it to the players and the coaches. players of the year. Coaches, players, everybody.
the banner says Charlie's ACC MVPs. However you decide how you want to give that out, it's up to you. There you go.
Now, I would say my man Raekwon Gray would be most improved.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad choice.
That's not a bad choice. I mean,
that's not a bad choice at all.
Games where he was the best player on the floor many times.
Yeah. That's not a bad choice at all.
He's the guy that gives us he gives us. He takes over the game that we lost in the ACC tournament, the championship game. He was in foul trouble the whole night, and so he wasn't able to control the ball at the end. We had a lot of turnovers, but when he was in the game, we were able to handle whatever pressure they applied because he's just a different type of guy. He's a big guy, can handle the ball. He's a matchup that a lot of teams just don't know how to match up with him.
You put him on Livers if Livers plays in that game?
I don't think you have a choice.
Well, the thing about us, everybody plays everybody. And so
we switch everything.
And so it's just a matter of us understanding. But the other thing is you got to expect if Livers does play, how you got, how's he moving? Because he has a lower injury, leg injury, and that may change how you play him. Make him a driver as opposed to stand up shooting. But what will happen, I know we were talking about MVPs, but what will happen is they're going to make the point guard keep the ball in his hands and try to go one-on-one against our big. And, of course, as we've seen, most times it doesn't fare well for the other team because we don't really allow – we allow that to happen, but we don't allow other guys to really get involved.
Well, listen, we were talking about MVP, but it was a beautiful transition. I couldn't resist. As we preview the final this next weekend here, I think the matchups for this game, this Michigan-Florida State game, you guys are the worst possible thing Michigan would want to see at this point, because – the size, I think, is going to be a problem. And the type of defense that you have is going to be a problem. And if Livers is not playing, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Michigan is going to have a hard time winning that game.
I didn't have them beating LSU without Livers.
Right. I was shocked that they beat LSU. But I just don't see how – I don't know. It'll be an interesting game. But I think it's going to be a tough – That's a tough draw, because I don't believe that Florida State is a four. I never believe that they're a four. And I think the Furman has bared that out. No, Charlie, I'm not playing this high.
Any longer. Let us be a four against a one. Come on now.
I'm not playing this hide in the shadows game with you any longer, Charlie Ward.
Cut the malarkey,
buddy. My God.
I'm just saying, it's a four against a one. We're the underdogs.
Oh, here he goes again.
So let us come into this game. I like LSU, but LSU just has – they remind me of a lot of my team, and that's something I'm working so hard to get out of. They're very talented.
Yeah.
They just don't play hard all the time. And you can kind of see it.
And they have times where they play as individuals too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 But they're indicative of the of today's game. It's not, you know, the other ACC game, as we preview the men, this Houston Syracuse game. I hope, listen, what I love about Syracuse, I mean, what I love about Houston is what is a trap for the game. They're ridiculously athletic. They're long. They don't necessarily shoot great, but they're athletic and they play hard and they play hard defense. Now, having said all that, I don't know what their basketball IQ is yet because they haven't been tested in that way, but they're about to be. They are about to be. And so it's going to be interesting to see if they can figure this. It's amazing that a 2-3 zone is the chess match that a lot of these coaches can't figure out.
It comes down for me, for Houston in that game. It comes down to offensive rebounding, because that's one of the downfalls of playing zone, is you give up a lot of offensive rebounds. And Houston, that with athleticism, if they can dominate the offensive glass, I think they'll be okay.
But they also cannot fall for the trap of just
jacking up a bunch of threes.
Yes. And that's what every team, y'all know that. Every team falls for that trap. Instead of trying to break it or find the weaknesses or the weaker points, they just say, well, let's just shoot some threes. And sometimes that works.
But to go back to Kendrick's point, it's that may be the best thing for Houston, because their strength is offensive rebounding.
And yes,
I don't see them being that eager to shoot the three, unless it's Grimes, because he's a knockdown shooter. I see them working because they have big guys that can hit the middle, because the middle a lot of times is open once the ball gets moving. The baseline a lot of times is open once the ball hits the middle. And so I can see them working to try to find those spots, and then in transition, try to find the three ball. And on, you know, just like what was it, West Virginia did. Number 22 got hot. Then they start finding different ways to play strong side and kick the ball weak side. And they were getting that shooter open, and he was knocking down shots. But what ended up happening after that was they made him an alert, and everywhere he went, they made sure that they had someone running or someone close to him and running him off that shot. And so it's going to be a chess match, as you mentioned, but Houston, they do have guys, big guys, that can shoot that shot in the middle, because against West Virginia, they were just leaving that guy open.
Right.
And he couldn't, I mean, he was panicking, looking like he was trying to find the next guy. I mean, they just leaving him open. But they do make adjustments in their 2-3 zone depending upon the strengths of their opponent. So if it's one of those big guys from Houston that can shoot, or a guard, they may put a guard in there that can do that. I've seen teams do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Put guards, run them into the middle.
Right.
Hit that, and then, you know, making sure, I know Florida State does that a lot with their guards, and they put the bigs on the baseline so they can, you know, throw high-low passes.
Right.
The other weakness, West Virginia got quite a few chances at the basket to lay it up or dunk it, but Syracuse converged. Mm-hmm. So quickly to where they were able to get a block at the rim or whatever the case may be. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen with Houston, because if they get it there, they may – I mean, they could probably –
they can finish it. Yeah, they'll finish it.
And so it'll be interesting to see. But we got to get my man Buddy Boeheim.
Oh.
Give him some love, man.
I'm a fan of Buddy Boeheim.
I like Buddy. I'm a Buddy guy. Yeah, I like Buddy.
I like dudes that like that talk they trash. He can back it up.
It ain't bragging if you can back it up.
Right. But you just look at him as a player. He's long. He's got that J. He can get to the basket if he needs to. I'm a big fan of Buddy Boeheim.
Yeah, I like Buddy too. I like Buddy too.
But guess what? This may be a tough game for Buddy.
Yeah. It could be. He's gonna work. He's gonna work.
They're gonna make him work.
He's gonna work this game.
Yeah,
he got away.
The shot, the open shots, is not gonna be there as much as that.
The blueprint is out. So no. On the women's side, we got South Carolina, Georgia Tech, 1/5. We got NC State over IU, 1/4, and of course Louisville. Oregon. They just beat Northwestern. Oregon, a 2-6. How do you think the ladies are going to fare going into next weekend, I guess? Or this weekend, rather.
Yeah. Louisville plays on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oregon's going to be a tough matchup for them, but they've had success against Oregon in the past. I remember they played them at the Yum Center a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they pretty much had their way with them. That's going to be a tough matchup for them, though, because Oregon, like I said, Oregon's got that size. NC State's game, it's going to be a little tougher than a lot of people give credit. I think NC State's going to win, but IU's good. They got a couple of Louisville girls on the team, and they're gonna give them a run.
Yeah. I think
Georgia Tech doesn't have a chance.
That's why I didn't mention.
Wow, you're not giving Georgia Tech any chance at all?
Come on.
So we're not going to try to build suspense in this moment? We're not going to? Okay.
All right. There's one thing about this show is we're honest.
We are honest. That is very true. I have to admit, South Carolina's look good. Yeah. They have looked really good.
There seems to be a clash of, like, these number ones.
Yeah.
At some point, because UConn destroyed Syracuse.
Yeah.
I thought it would be closer, and it wasn't close at all.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
I can see this very similar to Georgia Tech. I think they've had a great season, but I don't know how they overcome South Carolina.
I don't either. I don't have an answer for them.
I think the NC State game, it's got some interest to me. Just like I said, that keep your eye out for Grace Berger, the place for IU.
Okay.
She's from Louisville. She's already got 2 triple-doubles this season.
Oh, wow.
She's okay. A do-everything player for them. She's one of those – she's a positionless player. She's not very big. I think Grace might be about 5'9", 5'10". But she triple-doubles. She rebounds. She handles the ball. She shoots it. So, and she, I don't think they'll bring Kunan out on her. So it's going to be interesting to watch that game. The Louisville Oregon game is obviously the better game, but that NC State IU game is not going to be. I don't think it's going to be the blowout a lot of people think it's going to be.
I'll say this about the Louisville Oregon game: I feel like what the thing that impressed me the most about how Louisville handled the game yesterday is that Jeff and the girls knew they knew they did not play a great game at all. They knew that. And so there was no celebration. It felt more like an awakening. Like, okay, are we going to be this team or are we going to be who we are? And that second half looked more like who they are as opposed to – and I wouldn't even say the whole second half. I would say the 3 quarters into the third on. Like that – even coming out of the second half, like right at the start, I was like, this looks terrible. But it was like it was almost like when Haley Van Lith, there was a moment in the game where she hit the ground like ridiculously hard. I think the girl tripped her or something. And she just smacked the ground. And from that smack on, I was like, oh, they're going to be fine.
Well, part of that too is Northwestern was playing out of their minds. They weren't going to keep shooting like that the whole game.
Exactly.
They came in, I think they averaged maybe making 4 threes a game, and they made like their first 4 threes, and it was a little. They were playing a little bit out of their mind. So you knew they were going to catch up eventually, but you still had to worry. But the thing that had you worried is they haven't been playing well, because even in that NC State game, while it was close and you know they almost pulled it off, they didn't play that well. Neither team, I don't think, played that well in that game. Right.
One of the things I love that Charlie says all the time is that when you're a good team, you do what good teams do.
And that's what they did.
And for the first time in a long time, they did the things that good teams do. Like, I didn't understand in the first half all the turnovers. And it wasn't even real turnovers. It was like I didn't rebound the ball. I had it, and then it slipped out my hand. I'm like, okay, once one of those in a game is not good, but you just say, okay, it happens. But when you have like 9 of those, you're like, okay, now wait a minute, doggone it. This is a focus problem. Like, where are your minds at? Where's your heads at?
Because you know the player that turned the game around the most was Charlie's favorite player, and that's Mikasa Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the way she plays.
Yeah.
She doesn't play for the glory. She plays for her team. Plays for her team.
She was amazing. She was absolutely amazing. So I say that to say – I think Louisville has gotten that out of their system now. It felt like they got that out of their system, so I expect a better focus for the Oregon game. Georgia Tech, God bless you. You had a good run. the people will be waiting for you at the hotel. And then NC State, I mean, it feels like we're headed toward NC State, Texas A&M. I mean – But I'm gonna trust your judgment. Kendrick, that game is gonna be a lot tougher than I think it's gonna be. Because it doesn't feel like it's gonna be tough. But I have not seen IU women play, so I don't know.
I've seen them. And one thing I will say though, they can have those games where they don't look like they belong. They do have games that are just, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But when they play up to their potential and their ability. And also got to shout out Jalen Penn. She's another girl from Louisville that plays for IU. She played at Butler. They can give them a game. I'm not going to pick IU to win that game, by any stretch.
Right.
But I just think it'll be, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 10, 12 point NC State win, but it'll be one of those 10 or 12 point games that's like nip and tuck all the way. And then at the end, it kind of, you know, kind of gets away from them. But I think that's going to be an interesting game.
So real quick, breaking news, and we don't normally talk beyond ACC unless we're doing our non-ACC question of the week. But since this is NBA trade deadline day, and this is going to be happening all day, you can go to the Noisemaker Sports page, and we are up to date in the minute on all of the trades. The first one that went down today, it's shocking to me, Denver has traded for JaVale McGee.
Must-see McGee.
And sent 2 second-round picks to do it. And I'm like, really? JaVale McGee? Really? Okay.
I like JaVale McGee. I love JaVale McGee.
Shout out to Dallas's own JaVale McGee. So I am a huge JaVale McGee fan. It's amazing to see his journey. Because we're talking about a guy who went from being a joke in the league to now a 3-time champion. And with massive respect, and they're giving up 2 second-round picks for him. So that's pretty amazing to me.
I think when you're where the Nuggets are at this stage, a second round pick, I don't think it means that much to you.
It doesn't. You're right. Another thing that has gone down in the last 6 minutes, the Magic have traded Nikola Vucevic, Al Farouk Aminu to the Bulls for Otto Porter Jr. and Wendell Carter and 2 first-round picks.
Oh.
That seems like a lot to me, but, you know.
I don't get that move for either one of them. Do you, Charles?
I don't get it, but okay.
He's one of their better players, isn't he?
Yeah, he's their best player.
Right. But I think that
probably, I mean, I guess the Bulls are making a push. I'm trying to figure out which one of them is making the push.
It's got to be the Bulls making the push, in my opinion. But it also, I think it sounds like they're hitting the reset button on everything. So don't be surprised if by the end of the day also Aaron Gordon is gone as well.
That's the one I was expecting them to let go. I heard Vucevic in some rumors, but I was like, they're not going to let that guy go.
Well, but if you're getting rid of Vucevic, to me it says in the bigger scheme, this is not working. Obviously, we've done something wrong. So let's just hit the reset button on it all. And
how often can you hit the reset button? They've been hitting the reset button since Dwight Howard left.
See, that's how I feel. That's how I feel about Orlando. I'm like, man, y'all hitting the reset. Y'all like keep your finger over the reset button.
What are they building around Wendell Carter Jr.? He's always hurt.
Yeah, and Otto Porter. I wouldn't build around Otto Porter, but I just feel – I agree with you, Chad. I think they're just blowing things up, and it's probably – that's just where
let's hear NBA guy, because I want to hear what Charlie has to say.
Well, I just hope for my man's sake they can get the right people there for him.
Who's your man?
Steve Clifford.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag humble flex.
But Vucevic and Zach LaVine is a pretty good 1-2
punch. That's a great one.
I think it's Chicago. I don't think they're exactly making a push for this year's playoffs.
No, they're built.
I think they still have an outside chance.
Yeah,
but I think it's more of a future thing. But Vucevic is older than Wendell Carter Jr. I guess they're just tired of Wendell Carter being hurt all the time.
Maybe. But that's a lot to give up, though.
Huh?
It's a lot to give up, though.
Who?
For the Bulls to give up 2 first-round. Okay.
Essentially 3 first-rounds because Wendell Carter was a first rounder.
Yeah, they've given up a ton. So they clearly.
He's a lottery pick.
Yeah, that's a lot. So I feel like they're blowing it up. So
I just hope they can get it figured out for my man's sake.
And then the last thing I'll leave you guys with as we close out, the developing story is that Kyle Lowry is in. Or the Raptors are in talks with the Lakers, the 76ers, and the Miami Heat. So one of those three.
He's a great fit at all three.
Although, if I'm being honest, I'd love to see him go to Miami. I think he and Jimmy Butler, oh, my God.
So who would Miami give up?
What I'm hearing for all three deals – well, with Miami specifically, Tyler Hero. which I think if Miami can get out of that deal and not have to give up Bam out of Bayou, that's a win. Any deal that they can do and not have to give up Bam out of Bayou is a win.
They're not going to give up Bam. The sticking point for Miami is Tyler Hero, because they love Tyler Hero down there.
He's amazing. But if you can upgrade, and they need, to me, to counter what's in the East, you need defense.
So the Clippers aren't in the mix for Lowry?
Huh?
The Clippers aren't in the mix for Lowry?
Surprisingly, no. Unless it's something that Adrian
Wojnarowski... they desperately need a point guard.
Well, unless it's something Adrian Wojnarowski is not aware of, which is not usually a possibility. but it feels like it's and I'm surprised, honestly, to hear the Lakers in there. But as of last night, I did hear that Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell are a possibility to be shipped out somewhere, because they know they got to get better, and they got to weather this weird little storm that they're in.
Well, they're not going very far if AD is not right.
Oh yeah, right. No, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, I don't think getting rid of them two and adding Kyle Lowry. I mean, there's no disrespect to Kyle Lowry. I just don't. If AD and LeBron aren't right, it doesn't matter who they are.
Anyway. Right. It doesn't matter anyway. That's exactly right. I think what their big play is that they're going to try to pray and hope for the buyout of either Aldridge or Drummond. And I feel like and by the way, Drummond was just in L.A. on Tuesday.
But NBA players, that doesn't matter.
Well, it matters when it involves LeBron, because LeBron didn't go to the Pelicans-Lakers game. He had to stay back for medical reasons, and Drummond was there. I think that deal is pretty much done.
I've been saying that for a while. Anyway. Right,
unless Cleveland somehow gets a desperate Hail Mary alley-oop from the other end of the court for a trade today, I think Andre Drummond is headed to Los Angeles at some point. So that might be why they want to do the Kyle Lowry thing, because they know they got this other piece working on the backside of it. So it's the NBA, y'all.
I can understand the Lakers going after Kyle Lowry. I can understand anybody in the league going after Kyle Lowry. I just don't think that, I mean, until AD and, I mean, not even just LeBron, I think AD's probably the most viable player on that team at this point.
Yeah, but I am surprised, like you are, that the Clippers are not going after Kyle Lowry. It seems like a seamless fit, because he's got Kawhi, he's got Serge Ibaka, guys he's familiar with. It feels like that's an easy fit, but I don't know. Anyway, believe in the ACC. We had a great time. This has been a lot of fun. It's going to be a great day of trade stuff. It's going to be a great day of weekend of basketball. This is the best time of the year by far.
A great day for Charlie's dog.
Who
stuck up behind Charlie, and Charlie doesn't even realize.
That is hilarious.
Lily.
Shout out to Lily, who just wanted to get her ACC news.
Yes, Lily just wanted her fame.
I'm not mad at her. She deserves her time. I'm not mad at her. All right, guys, it's been fun as always. We'll do this all again on, I don't know, Monday. By Monday, we will be pretty close to a Final Four.
Yes.
Yes. We're on both sides, men and women. So we'll have a lot to talk about. Huh?
Seminoles Elite Eight.
And with that, we will take our leave. Have a great, great
your nose.
You have been listening to Believe in the ACC with Charlie Ward and Lloyd Spence. You can tune in every Tuesday and Thursday on the Believe Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere podcasts can be heard. You can also watch Charlie and Lloyd on Facebook on the Noisemakers page and on YouTube on the Noise Media YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, and follow on all our platforms, and we will keep taking you inside the ACC.